If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and hold your place there, and also find Exodus 33. So Luke chapter 2, as well as Exodus chapter 33, we're going to look at two passages there. And have you ever had somebody in your life that when you see them, everything changes? And I know there's two different types. Sometimes there's those that everything changes for the bad, and there's a people that stress you out. I'm talking about the good ones, that when you see them, everything changes. You feel safer when they're there. You feel at peace. You feel loved when they're there. Anybody have someone like that in your life? That it's a great thing every single time that you see them. And there is a person in the name of Jesus Christ that if we actually experience intimacy and closeness with him, I'm not talking about necessarily being at church or singing some songs. I'm talking about just truly intimate with him. There is something life-giving and something that changes and something that's uplifting that happens every time we encounter that. And that is a gift that Jesus Christ wants to give to us this morning, this intimacy with him. And we've been going through this series. We started last week on the season of gifts as we look at Luke chapter 2 and we see unveiling the different gifts that Jesus has brought into the world just simply by entering it. And last week we talked about the gift of comfort. And if you've missed that last week on our website, bethelpgh.org, under the Listen tab, you can listen to that message as well as any of the previous messages as we're learning about what Jesus Christ has given to us. And I lost my train of thought. That almost never happens. You'll forgive me, right? Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. I looked at my lovely wife. I think that's what happened. Good recovery, right? Luke chapter 2, picking up at verse 22. I'm going to turn red now. Verse 22, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present to the Lord. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation, or as we saw, the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Intimacy, we interact with people in different ways, right? We might interact with a stranger different than we do someone who's a close friend. There's different levels or degrees of intimacy. And Jesus wants this closeness with us that has been affected. It's been altered in the way that God wants it to be. And when he created the garden, imagine this. Adam and Eve walked through the cool of the garden with God. God walking with them, talking with him, sensing his presence, feeling his breath. They had this closeness with him. But then there was a day that they chose to rebel against God and they broke trust. And any of you, and it's reasonable to understand, any of you, if you've ever had a relationship with someone and they broke trust with you, it alters the intimacy. It alters how you can relate to them. And so God sent them out of the garden and banished them from the intimacy that they once had. And we still struggle with that, as Paul says in Corinthians, that now we see through a glass dimly, but then we will see face to face. There's this hindrance because of sin that's entered into the world. And as much as we like to blame Adam and Eve for this problem, anytime we sin, we pretty much say if we were there, we would have done the same thing, because we choose to rebel against what God tells us to do. And so we are always constantly a part of this problem of this barrier between us and God. Yet that was not God's original intention. When God created mankind, he wanted to be close. That's not God's final intention. You see in Revelation that we will be with God for all eternity. We will see him face to face. This is what God wants for us. But in the interim, there is this struggle to break through that barrier, to be close with the Lord. But God says in James 4, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And there is this intimacy, this closeness that brings so much joy, brings so much hope. And some of you here, we all have varying degrees of intimacy with the Lord. And there might be some here that maybe you're struggling with your belief in God. You believe in him, but you're kind of unsure about certain things about God. You believe in God, but you're not sure about certain things about the scripture. Or maybe you believe in God, but you don't feel his presence. You believe he's there with you, but you don't really sense the presence of God. Or maybe you feel it, but you hear other people say how, you know, God said this to me, or God spoke to me, or God revealed this to me, or I'm sensing God doing. And that's foreign to you. You don't understand. How does a person hear from God like that? And there's an intimacy that God wants to take us to, but there are barriers that have to be dealt with, and there's actions that have to be taken to get there, because we have sinned, we have broken trust with God, and there is a hindrance to this intimacy. And there was a moment in this passage that I don't know if we caught the significance of it in Luke chapter 2, where Simeon was longing to see the Lord's Christ because he knew the significance of who Christ was. And when Christ came, and listen, he was so faithful to God that the Lord made sure that he did not die until he got this moment of intimacy. You know what the intimacy was? He held, now think of a mother with her child when she's cradling an infant in her arms. There is something so close and intimate with that relationship there. Jesus Christ in the flesh. There's Simeon picking up the infant child who is the Lord of all creation, who is the creator of all earth. This is God in the flesh. And Simeon, for a moment, gets an intimacy that none of us have really come close to. A moment where he is looking into the face of God in infant form. This is the intimacy that God brought into Simeon's arms because he wanted the Lord's Christ. And doesn't the scripture say, draw near to him and he will draw near to us? But how do we get to this place? Jesus wants you to get to a place where you feel, not just know he's there, but feel his presence. He wants you to have that. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to be intimate with him and experience all the hope, all the strengthening, all the delight that comes in that. Wants you to have that. But how do we get there? We have to get there by taking action. And we're going to see in Exodus chapter 33, we're going to see an encounter with Moses that's going to reveal to us a few things this morning on how we can break down this wall to get to a place where we're intimate with the Lord. And I'm going to reference the verses as we walk through it. The first action we must take is to taste the presence. Moses knew God on an intimate level. Verse 9 says the Lord would speak with Moses. Verse 11, it says the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Verse 14 says, my presence will go with you. Verse 17 says, I know you by name. Verse 19 says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Verse 22, it says, while my glory passes by. Moses experienced God. He experienced intimacy with the Lord. He also experienced the blessings that come with that. He experienced rest. Verse 14, God declared, I will give you rest. He experienced favor. Verse 17, God says, you have found favor in my sight. He experienced shelter. Verse 22 says, I will cover you with my hand. He also experienced his character. Chapter 34, verse 6 and 7, as the Lord passed by him, he proclaimed, the Lord, a God of mercy and grace, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands for iniquity and transgression and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. Moses experienced God like almost none other. He experienced his glory. He talked with him face to face. He experienced all the blessings of being God's presence. He experienced his character, not just his love and grace towards him. He even experienced God's justice. Moses experienced the Lord. And the scriptures say, taste and see that the Lord is good. We see that stated in Psalms. And have you ever tasted a cookie and realized how good it was, and you said, I'm just going to have one of these. And then before you knew it, you had about four. Have you ever had that before? Or you've got a bowl of ice cream and thought, this is really good, I'm just going to have one bowl, and then you went for that second helping. When we encounter things that are good, we want more of it. It's just what happens with our nature. Same with relationships. Have you ever started talking with someone and said, I'm just going to talk with them for a few minutes, and before you know it, 3 hours have gone by because you've just delighted in that conversation? When we experience a good thing, we want more of it. And it's the same way with the Lord. God challenges us in that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But that doesn't mean just come to church. Now, come to church is a part of that. That doesn't mean just read the Bible. That doesn't mean just sing some songs. That means taste him, his presence, encounter him. When you encounter him, not something else, not just music, but when you encounter Jesus Christ, you're going to want more of it. You are, because when you experience the felt presence of the Lord, you just want more. And that's where Moses was. He's experiencing God, and he says, Lord, show me your face. He experiences his face, Lord, show me your glory, because God is so good, and the presence of the Lord is just so rich that when we break through and we encounter that, we want more. And so the first action we must take is we have to actually taste that. We have to actually experience the presence of the Lord. The second action is to get in position, to get into the right position. Verse 7 says that Moses went to a tent that was outside the camp. We're in chapter 33 again. He went to a tent that was outside the camp, far off from the camp. He got in position by getting alone with God. Now, I've shared with you before that there is significance and there's importance to being in group prayer. But there's also significance to getting alone with God, because there are things that you're going to say to God when you're by yourself that you won't dare say when other people are listening. Okay? That's just the way it is. And as much as we might think that we're an open book, there are things that we keep private. And there's going to be an intimacy found by getting alone with God that won't be found when we're in the presence of the group. Jesus was often found getting alone with God. He would withdraw to the wilderness somewhere, and he would seek the Lord. And if you don't have moments like that, you're not in the right position. We have to be alone. We have to have tough times that we're being alone with God. We get in possession by being alone with God. We get in position by his placement. Verse 21, God says, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. This is where he was going to encounter the Lord passing him by. He was going to see his back. He was going to hear that proclamation, the Lord gracious and compassionate. He was standing on, this is where God directed him to be. And we have to be where God is guiding us to be. And so that's going to be different for some of us in different ways. Where God wants us to be working. Where God wants us to live. Maybe even where God wants us to go to church, what ministry God wants us to be involved in. But the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us through life, and we need to be following that. But if we're resisting that, if we're not moving with where the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us to go, we're not in position, we're not on the rock, we're not where God is calling us to be, and that's where the presence is. The presence, the intimacy with the Lord is being where he is calling us to be. And so what is it this morning that God is calling you to do, calling you to go to, and you're not there on that rock? And you wonder, why can't I hear God? Why can't I sense his presence? Am I in position? Am I in position where God is calling me to be? I need to walk in that. I get in position by getting alone with God, by his placement. I also do so by worshiping. Chapter 34, verse 8, Moses' response was, it says, and Moses quickly bowed his head to worship to the earth and to worship the Lord. We need to cultivate this constant heart to worship God. And put on worship music when you're in your car. Put on music, worship music in your house. But just sing unto the Lord, or just learn the songs and sing it a cappella, whatever you need to do, but cultivate this heart to worship the Lord. And it can't just be that I go to church on Sunday morning and sing the 5-6 songs that they sing and then I'm done. I have to cultivate a worshipful heart within me. And the more I do that, the more I'm just going to be in this habit to seek Him. And the more I begin to seek Him, the more I'm going to taste and see the Lord is good. And the more that I taste and see the Lord is good, the more I get to the place where Moses was, where I'm pushing in and I want to see His face and I want Him to show me His glory. But we can't have this intimacy. And all the despair and the discouragement and the frustrations and the difficulties and the fear that are in life can be cast away if I find myself here in the presence of the Lord, experiencing intimacy with Him. And we can have that if we take action. Taking action by tasting the presence, by getting in position. Thirdly, by finding a passion. Verse 9, Moses says, "Pardon our iniquity and our sin." He found a passion through repentance. And he was most likely not repenting over his own sin. He was repenting over the sin of the group, over the sin of the nation. And so we don't, and all of us probably have many reasons why we can repent, but we don't have to have necessarily a problem within and out of ourselves. We can repent for the sins of the nation. We can repent for the sins of a group that we're a part of, maybe the sins within our family. We could be coming to God, because what happens is when I come to God saying, "Lord, I messed up. I have problems in my life, and I'm sorry, Lord, I need this to change." There is this different position, this humbling position that puts me in before God, that I realize I depend upon Him, that I realize that this is the judge of all the universe, and I am going to be in a problem spot if I'm not receiving His mercy. And then all of a sudden, it gives me this motivation, this passion to want to seek Him, because I need His mercy. And it starts with this repentance. I find this passion through having a repentant attitude towards the Lord. I have this passion through seeking to please Him. Verse 9 says, Moses says, "Take us for your inheritance." Verse 13, he says, "Please show me now your ways." In verse 13 also, he says, "To find favor in your sight." Favor. Favor is when someone is happy with you, you find favor with them. They have this positive outlook towards you. And this is what Moses was saying is, "God, I want you to be happy with me. I want you to be pleased with me." And what he did is he proceeded with this statement to the Lord, this prayer to the Lord. Sometimes our kids want us to be happy with them, but they don't want to change their behavior, right? Just be happy with that I broke this, okay? It's fine. Just be happy with me. Don't be mad. And we sometimes do that with God. "Lord, be happy with me just as the way I am. You know, don't bother, you know, correcting me, or just be happy." And Moses wasn't saying that. He was saying, "Lord, show me your favor and show me your ways. Lord, I want to know your ways. I want to know the things that please you so that I can start to become that, so that I can start to become the person who pleases you." And this is the person who's going to find God's favor and is going to find this intimacy, is the one who says, "Lord, I'm looking to please you. Whatever you want, I'm doing that." And that you cannot help but to experience that intimacy. Think about your own relationships and the kind of disposition we have towards people who are seeking to please us. As much as we might not like to do that, we want to be kind and nice to everybody, you're usually nicer to the people who are nice to you. It's just kind of the way relationships work. And if we want to find favor with God, we can't just keep going our own way and doing our own thing and disregarding everything God tells us and expect Him to just be happy with us. Will He love us all the time? Will He be pleased with our behavior? Not unless we're knowing His ways. All the way to the point where Moses says, "Lord, take me as your possession. Own me, Lord. Just let me be yours." And he's giving himself completely over to God. And when I do that, when we do that, there is going to be an intimacy that's going to be found, and there's going to be this passion because we're willing to give up everything else just because we want to please Him and we want to be His. I find a passion through repentance, through seeking to please Him, through simply wanting Him. Verse 9, Moses says, "Lord, let the Lord go in the midst of us." He just wanted God's presence to be there. Verse 13, he says, "That I may know you." Sounds very much like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, that I may know Christ. He just wanted to know the Lord. Verse 18, Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Moses wanted God. It got to a point where he didn't want the music anymore. He didn't want the sacrifices necessarily. He didn't want the temple, and he didn't want all the blessings that God shines down on us. He just wanted the Lord. He just wanted to know him. And we, when we reach a point where we just want him, then all of a sudden we're going to experience an intimacy. Do you remember, you know how young couples, when they fall in love, they just want to be with each other. They you know that song, Even Though We Ain't Got Money? I'm so in love with you. I'm going to not sing it so not to torture you. But don't say good so quickly back there. But when we are infatuated by a person, we don't care what else we have. Our delight is found in that person. And that's why Jesus is called our bridegroom, because he wants us to be the bride of Christ, where we are just infatuated with him, where when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter if I have good health, it doesn't matter if I have enough financial resources, it doesn't matter if people like me, it doesn't matter if I feel good, it doesn't matter any of these other things that we're always running about, worried about, and trying to get. If I just have him, then I'm fine. And that's what Moses was about. I want the faith. God, I don't want to go anywhere that you are not. I want to see your face. I want to know your glory. This is what I want. And if we start taking action like that, we will know the intimacy of God. Excuse me. As James 4 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We can know this presence, this intimacy, by tasting the presence, by getting a position, by finding a passion. Lastly, by seeking sound doctrine. There's an interesting conundrum that happens in this passage, because Moses is saying, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere that your presence is not. And yet the scripture teaches that God is everywhere. God is the technical term, omnipresent. There is not one place that God does not dwell. And it's stated throughout scripture, but particularly I'll point out Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Jeremiah 23, 24 says, can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. God dwells everywhere. He is present everywhere. He exists everywhere. God is omnipresent. And yet, Moses says in verse 15 of Exodus 33, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Almost implying that there is a place that Moses could go that God does not dwell. So what's going on here? Verse 20, he goes beyond this, though, and he says, God says, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And so there's the dimension to this intimacy that's being unfolded here. Verse 23, God says, you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. There is this presence that's taking place that varies from degree, whether I'm seeing his back or I'm seeing his face. And you can see in this passage that as Moses is asking to be nearer to the Lord, as he's asking for God's presence, you see peppered throughout there this statement of God's favor. I want your favor. And we see God saying, I'm giving you my favor. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, when we interact with a stranger, the intimacy level is so much far different than interacting with our spouse. It just is. Not because we're not being kind, but there's just a difference in the intimacy in a relationship. Have you ever interacted with someone and you could tell they were upset with you? One of my children, when they're upset, let's say Alma's me, their body is like this. Will you turn and look at me, please? Turn your body. Because there's a language that says, I'm not connected with you. I'm not close to you. Have you ever heard someone say to you or say to somebody else, be present? You ever heard that? Be present. I was going to pick on Larry. Larry, when we were in prayer, I told you I was going to pick on you. When we were in prayer, he had this spacey look on his face. And I said, are you okay? He said, I'm just not here right now. Now, he didn't mean he's literally not there. His body was in the room with us. He was present with us, but he wasn't really present with us. He wasn't engaged. He wasn't interacting with us. And this is what Moses is experiencing. He's not saying, God, I don't believe that you don't exist over there. He was saying, God, when I get over there, I want to feel your presence there. I want to know that you're here. I want you to be pleased with me. I want to be interacting with you in such a way that's a loving interaction, that it's a joyful interaction, that it's a pleasant interaction. I want to know your character. I want to know your glory. I want to see your face. I want to be close with you. This is the kind of interaction I want, God. This is what Moses was saying. Not that God isn't present everywhere, but there's a difference in the interaction between us and him. And that's why I said earlier, I could be standing in a room next to somebody, and I could be totally close and caught up into the presence of the Lord, and this person is not anywhere near that, because it's a matter of where my heart is. And the same God is present with both of us, but the way he interacts with us is different. And what is it that you want? Do you want the Lord? Can you say that honestly with all your heart? Lord, I just want you. Please let me see your face. Please show me your glory. Would you stand with me, worship team, if you want to prepare to lead us? The Lord wants you. He wants you probably more than you can even imagine. He wants you. And we can encounter this presence that I'm telling you, you want to be the type of person who walks without fear. If you know the presence of the Lord with you on a constant basis, you will have no fear. If you want to know the joy of the Lord, if you want to know a peace that surpasses all understanding, you will know it in the presence of the Lord. Because as we've said, Jesus says in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. All of that, the way, the truth, and the life is found here in the presence of the Lord. And you are here this morning in varying degrees of a relationship with Jesus. But there are some here today that you know him. You believe in him. You believe in the scriptures, all that stuff. But you don't really feel his presence with you. Maybe you feel it now when you're in church, when you're with other believers, but when you're at your job, when you're in your family relationships, when you're in your neighborhood, when you're dealing with your life's problems, you don't feel God's presence with you. And you want to be like Moses, where he said, I don't want to go there, Lord, unless you are present with me. And that's your heart this morning. You want to know the felt presence of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give that to you. He wants to give that to you. Or maybe there's this barrier where you can't hear God. That's a foreign concept to you. When other people say, I heard from God, and you want to know the voice of the Lord, he wants to give that to you. But the only question is, all the worries and difficulties and struggles in this life that the scriptures say in the parable choke out the word. Are you willing to give it all away and say, Lord, I just want you. I want you. And so if that's you this morning, you just need to know the intimacy of the Lord, whatever degree it is. But you just need you need that favorable interaction between you and the Holy Spirit. He's here today, and he wants to lavish his love upon you. But would you come and let him do that? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's seek him today. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I ask, Lord, for those who sought you this morning, whether they came to this altar or whether they were at their seats, may we say with one voice in our hearts, Lord, show us your glory. And Lord, I ask that you would give that sweet presence to them. Not just today at this moment, but Lord, tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next. May we encounter constantly the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. You had admonished us through Paul in Ephesians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you taught us, Jesus, to ask, seek, and knock, you taught particularly that it was the Holy Spirit that the Father wants to give to those who love him. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would fill us, Lord, to overflowing, to know the goodness of the presence of the Lord. And would you help us? Would you clear our ears, the ears of our heart, to be able to hear the voice of God? And I ask, Lord, that this week, those who are struggling with that, to hear from you, may you give them such a clear word this week that it astounds them and it builds up their faith. Let us hear you. Those who are struggling with the felt presence of the Lord, would you let them feel your presence, Lord, to feel the goodness of God, to feel the love of God surround them. Let them feel your presence, Lord. And we draw near to you, Lord, as individuals and as a church as well. And we ask, Lord, that you would just have your way in our church body. Lord, we, Lord Bethel, as Moses said, is your possession. And may you take us as your possession, Lord, so that you could be glorified, that the name of Jesus can be exalted. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.